Welcome to the Messy Middle podcast that follows one mom's journey to build a profitable business while navigating the challenges of life. I'm your hostess, Anita Anello, and I'm here to share wisdom, insights, and stories that will empower you to make confident decisions, take actionable steps, and break through the mental barriers that hold you back. Hey, everybody, this is Anita Anello with The Messy Middle, and I have Stephanie Hibbert on with me today, and we're going to do a couple of things first. First, I want to welcome Stephanie to the show today, so thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. It's an honor.
Thank you. And let me do a quick review for the audience about who Stephanie is, why she's here today, and what she has to offer. So Stephanie is a certified life coach, devoted wife and mother. She has a bunch of boys running around our household. She's got some great stories that's going to go along with that. And she's also super excited to share some of her passions about helping each of us as women who follow Jesus to live lighter and shine brighter. So thanks, Steph, for being here. We just really appreciate you.
Absolutely. I'm grateful to share the message God has put on my heart and connect with your audience today.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so let's do a couple of things. Stephanie, you and I were having a conversation before we started, and we set the stage in a couple of ways. We had a quick intro and just got to know each other a little bit better. We just prayed and just said, hey, God, I know that you have something for somebody who's listening today. And so just be so blessed when you hear that little nugget and that idea of something that's going to shift inside of you, inside of your spirit as you listen to this podcast today, or something that's going to help you take one step forward. So we're hoping for both of those and just praying for each of you that are listening today. And the other thing that we were doing is we were just breaking down the conversation a little bit. So I shared with me and my audience, my sweet spot audience is those ladies who they're really like successful in the corporate space. They've risen to a level of success. They're super good at a skill, what I call a specialized skill set, but they have a God-sized idea for a business that's inside of them. They probably possibly have gotten to a spot where they're choked out. Mm-hmm. They've risen as far as, and maybe risen as far as they can, or they're just aching to do something different. Maybe they want to be a little bit more intentional with their children, maybe a little bit more intentional with their marriage, or a lot more intentional in those areas of their lives. But they really have this idea that's inside of them to be able to build a business. And one of the things I said is they have a God-sized idea. And that triggered something in you. And you started saying to me, hey, I meet with my mentor on a regular basis. And she reminds me on a regular basis that we're not building our own kingdom. We're building God's kingdom. So Absolutely. Let's start the conversation right there. Talk to me a little bit more. What does that look like? How did you stumble across that idea? Because in this online space, man, it's so hard. We can compare ourselves to so many others. So let's just start the conversation there.
Yes, absolutely. So there was a moment where I was transitioning from learning to practicing what my God-sized idea was in myself. And there were all of these voices that were coming that we need to do it this way. The gurus out there, this is what success looks like. And I just felt unsettled. I felt like I was leaning a lot on those and couldn't quite put one step forward. And I had a coaching call for myself where we were exploring why I was getting stuck. And it came down to the fact that I was seeing the vision that other people were handing me of what my vision and my business needed to look like. But I didn't want to build their vision. And I even didn't want to build my vision. What truly deep inside I wanted to do was build what God was calling me to do. And this line came to my head in that moment, don't build your kingdom, build God's. And that has been my mantra as I've been building for the last 5 years of I am not building my kingdom. And if I try and build it the way other people are telling me to build it, I get in God's way and I make it so he can't guide my steps forward. And that mentor that I was telling you about that I meet with weekly, she's a spiritual giant and I couldn't do this without her. But I call her my humility team. And the reason I do is because we check in, say, are you staying humble? Are you following God? Or are you listening to those voices again that are pulling you off track and making you feel like you're behind and not enough? So that's a big piece of why I can move forward is I recheck and I have somebody else help me check it too, that I am building God's kingdom.
Yeah. Wow, that's so powerful. So let's unpack that a little bit more. About how long do you feel like that process took where you were listening to all the outside voices and comparing yourself, maybe either knowingly or unknowingly, to everybody else around you? Because we hear this a lot, right? Especially in the online space, we hear these, you could be a millionaire overnight. And I love to dispel that myth because, by the way, that's a lie. Yeah. Now you could have a revenue event that happens that way, but it's 20 years in the making or something longer, whatever that looks like for your success or even the definition of success. So how long was that process for you where you were able to go from possibly I'm unaware that I am following all these other things to now I'm a little bit more aware so then I can actually work on it every day?
So this is not the answer that you and your listeners are going to want to have, because I want to tell you that it was multiple months and we ironed that out and I don't struggle with that anymore. But I just told you I have a weekly check-in with my mentor because I have to keep remembering this. But do you know why? Because the destroyer wants me to shut up and sit down. Yeah. And so he's constantly going to give me the imposter syndrome, the you're not doing it right. Like his messages are going to always be there. And so, of course, my natural brain is going to struggle with that. So it's a daily choice. It's a daily choice for me to choose God's way and not choose the way of the world that is pulling me. But don't the scriptures say be in the world, but not of the world? And that's what we're here for anyway on our day-to-day practice. So yes, I'm able to catch it faster now. I've done a lot of emotional management where I recognize what it feels like when I'm pulled that way. And so I can catch it and recenter, but it's not deleted. I wish I could tell you it is, but it's not.
No, I love that. I love the truth of it. You and I were talking as well. I was just in an event last week and felt so confident going in and confident not in me, but in the vision that God had given me for my next steps in my business. And as the week went on, one of the things that we were talking about, number one, the gentleman who, my coach, who led the workshop was like, it's not really a successful workshop until somebody cries or everybody cries. And I was like, oh, that's actually pretty poignant. But then also we discussed the fact that we swing back and forth between I'm confident in what God has shown me to, oh my gosh, I'm losing everything, Lord. What's happening? And it's really what I call an identity crisis. So let's talk about that a little bit. Let's break down, you shared with me earlier some really fascinating perspectives on around self-love and confidence versus self-confidence. What does that look like for you? And how do you help people walk through that process?
Sure. So this is my main core message to the Christian women that I support is two things. Confidence versus self-confidence. Confidence is built on evidence. You've done it before. You can do it again. You've ridden that bike. You can get back on that bike. And people want to build a business on confidence because they want to feel good moving forward. But you can't actually get confidence without evidence. It takes that commitment and that courage that will build evidence. Then you can feel confident. Mm-hmm. But we don't have that commitment and courage unless we have our own backs. And that requires inner self-confidence. Self-confidence is different because you are confident that you've got your back if you fail. Yep. You're building that strength from the within that God is guiding you, and it's an internal motivation, not an external need for validation. So that's the core of it, is that self-confidence. And we build that one little step at a time, right? That's what most of the coaching that I do is building that self-confidence.
Yeah.
But once we start get that ball rolling, people are more aware of themselves. These women, like your amazing listeners right now, you start being more aware of what you're doing, what you're feeling, how you're moving forward. And we start getting an image of what healthy or successful looks like. Even the self-confidence bit, like I'm self-confident if it looks like this. And that awareness starts as a stagnant place where you realize, oh, I'm somebody who is a procrastinator, or I'm just like my mom, or when this happens in my business, this is how I show up, right? We have that awareness, but it feels stuck. It feels stagnant.
Yeah.
And we mature when we get to a place where we believe we can change. And that's what a lot of what I hear your audience is doing. I'm not stuck here. I can change. I can create. I can embrace that God-sized idea and move forward. But unfortunately, when we start having that movement, that positive reinforcement when we move feels good. And then we feel good about ourselves. And we have self-love because we're moving forward. We're accomplishing. We're doing things that we feel are good in the world. So we're good with ourselves and with God. That's the message we say. But if that's true, then the opposite also is true. If we're not moving forward, if we're not creating success, then we're not good with ourselves and we're not good with God. And then that self-love deflates. Mm-hmm. And that's what we base our self-love on, is it's conditional upon our change. Mm-hmm. And when we are in that phase of that stage of self-love, it gets really toxic and exhausting because we have to succeed to be lovable.
Oh, wow.
Detaching that is what gives us the freedom and the courage to keep moving forward with failure, with the ups and downs, because we don't have to have our self-love dependent on that change. It can be separate.
Yeah. And then we think about it too, when we consider the audience who is listening, or I know, like from my corporate experience, where I was surrounded by somebody else's goals, somebody else's KPIs, right? Mm-hmm. Another team, right? Some of the most difficult work is when we transition over to the entrepreneurial world. Some of the most difficult work is you don't have those same safety nets that you had before, yeah, because you're doing so many things on your own. You don't have the confidence in saying, hey, I've been doing this as part of my career for X amount of years, yeah, and I know that I'm good at it. And so what I find is there's so much head and heart work that has to, yeah, take place. That is, let me just say, first of all, it's so worth it to do, yes, the head and the heart work. Yes. Right. And it's about 85% of the journey. Some would say the mechanics of the business are about 15% of your day-to-day work. Amen. But we have been told and we're taught, especially in the corporate world, like that everything that we do, especially when you're going against, you're working against plans, you're working against KPIs, you're working against all the corporate buzzwords that say you're good and you get your bonus if you hit these goals and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're conditioned in that way that we have to cheerlead ourselves, tell everybody that we're amazing. And then we also have to say that we're only good when we hit the markers. Mm-hmm. Then you transition over to the corporate, to the entrepreneurial space. And those same tools, those same techniques, those same skills that you have applied in it, you have to figure out a way to apply them differently. So I love what you were talking about there, because the difference between the confidence based on evidence, so incredibly true, versus the self-confidence that I say, God, you've put this idea inside of me and it's going to look different than everybody else, but I'm actually okay with different. So yeah, I just want to encourage somebody, as somebody hears that maybe in a new, a different way today, what we're talking about is we're going on an adventure with God.
Yes.
And it looks different than what you've been used to. And there's nothing wrong with what you've done to this point. It's been, I'm sure the journey has been amazing. It's been stretching. It matures you and all the kind of stuff. But as we step into building businesses based on these God-sized ideas inside of us and building kingdom-based businesses, it's very different. So I love that. And then also, Stephanie, the self-love component, man, that was so powerful. Can you capture that again? The difference between when I'm operating in a self-love based on the tasks that I've done and the accomplishments I've done, and then how does that work against me when I don't have those things? Because what I'm picturing, it's my kids like jump on the pogo stick or something like that. And yeah, they're like, hooray, I'm up. And oh my gosh, I'm down. That's how our days can be characterized. And it's a little bit like David in his story, right? Mm-hmm. As he walks through, right? And he's always, hooray, God, you're amazing. I'm good. And then the next day, the next passage, the next line in scripture, oh my gosh, God, I'm horrible. I'm a wretch, right?
But the beauty there is David still turning to God. And that, yes, is what brings you to the fourth stage. So the first stage I didn't even mention is just unaware of yourself, right?
Okay. But,
so you have unawareness, stagnant awareness, conditional love, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have unconditional love. And oh, wow, the unconditional love is not something that can come from you, because we're humans and our human brain attaches our self-worth to the different things around us. But like you just said, even though David had the ups and downs, he turned to God in those ups and those downs, and God is what provided healing and direction for him. And that is the only thing that can get you through, because we're not going to delete the downs. I wish I could tell you that once you have unconditional self-love, you're going to feel love for yourself all the time.
No.
That's not realistic.
No.
But what is realistic is saying, I have power to turn to God in the down and find my worth in him, find my divinity through him. I love the picture that has really resonated with me and the women I support. If I want you to think for a moment, all of the listeners, what your favorite flower is. It could be lilies or daisies or roses or whatever it is. What's your favorite flower? I have to tell you, it's the wrong one. Because my favorite flower is different than your favorite flower. And so yours is the wrong one. Is that true?
No.
No, that's not true. But for me, my ability to love your flower is different than your ability to love your flower. Mm. But God's ability to love every flower, because he created every flower, is infinite and unchanging. So when we go and we move forward in our business and we offer that God-sized idea flower to someone and they're like, no, thank you, I don't like that flower, we make it mean that our flower is unlovable. It's not true that it's unlovable. It means that person's ability to love it or value it is different than mine, and that's okay. And then we turn back to God and we say, it's lovable. He loves it. I am okay where I'm at because God is helping that flower grow and bloom and blossom and thrive. Doesn't mean that somebody else is threatened by it or their flower looking different than mine is right or wrong. So that's how we up-level it to that more stable self-love, is we recognize we're not for everybody. Our product or whatever we're creating is not for everybody. Yeah. But if we build it on God, it's for him. And that's our true motivation.
Wow. That's so good. I had written down a little note about unpacking the self-love piece a little bit more. And I felt like you gave us just a great example of not only what your description of the fourth level of self-love is, but also the how do I actually practically and tactically do something with that? One of the things that I love to say is we love to take information. We academically take information in. Mm-hmm. I've been homeschooling for 15 years. So the way that I describe it is like that, right? We take all this information in. And then, but we have to do something with it, right? So how do we get practical and tactical? And Stephanie, I feel like you gave us just some steps to just practically and tactically take the self-love that I'm determining inside of myself and say, no, especially on the days where I feel down and I'm wondering where my worth and my value actually come from, what you just told me is, nope, I'm going to remind myself to shift and go back and say, God, you're the one that's put this idea inside of me. You're the one that has already called me worthy. You're the one that has called me to serve this particular audience and find community with other like-minded people. And gosh, that's just so powerful. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And speaking of tangible tools to help you with that, my favorite thing, I have a journal that is just between me and God. And I will write letters from his perspective to myself when I'm in those moments where I need to remember. I will sit and say, all right, God, you tell me what it is you need me to remember about me. And I will write down, these are things I want you to start remembering and stop believing, and just an encouragement. And sometimes if I'm not quite connected to him, I'll connect to a future version of myself that I feel like he's more proud of, and have that version of me write me a letter. And we just have this expansive, like, we're going to think bigger about it, more eternal about it. It's not so focused on the failure right in front of me, but the radiance that is already inside of me. My podcast is called Radiant You. And so it's all about, it's already there. It's already accessible. We just hide it with all of these measures that we don't see our worth or our patterns that are unfulfilling, but it's there if God gives us the eyes to see it, but if we have to receive that from him.
Wow, that's so good. One other thing I'm hearing you say, and we're dancing around the topic, Stephanie, is how do we determine, what are some good tools that we can use to determine what success looks like? Because again, when you're working at a job, those measurements are often, they're not even yours to determine. It's somebody else, your boss's boss, their boss, the VP that you report to, they're the ones that are determining these are the KPIs that we're going to meet, and this is what success is going to look like. And then I find oftentimes I'll sit down and talk to the people that are closest to me, the people that are in my community, my mastermind, my family. I'll be like, okay, what do I do next? And my husband says something amazing all the time. He's super supportive. I live with my biggest cheerleaders on the planet I live with. And so I'm so fortunate with that, because in those moments where I'm, and this is, we're just talking about like when it's the struggle. So in those moments when I'm in the struggle and I'm wrestling with something and questioning the direction of my business or the next step, or sometimes even just my worth and my value, I'll say to him, what should I do next? What are the big steps? Here's all the options that I had. And I know. And he'll be like, he's learned to say, to not tell me what to do, because he knows that doesn't really work for my personality style. But he's also saying, honey, I know I believe in you.
Yeah.
And I believe that you have lots of these options in front of you, and just go do what God's called you to do and where you find the most joy.
Yeah.
And find of kind of connecting those pieces, because oftentimes, so maybe that's the underlying question, Stephanie, is how do you help somebody where they've come from an environment where everything's so structured and they're moving over to this other environment where it's really wide open? How do you help somebody discover what those steps looks like? How do you unearth like that God-sized idea and have conversations around it to say, it sounds like it would be really amazing if you showed up on a podcast and talked about God and how awesome he was.
Yeah.
Because in our natural minds, we're like, how do I make money on that? I don't really understand.
Yeah.
But let's explore that a little bit. What do you think?
So a couple of things are coming to my mind. First, one of the things I love practicing myself and with my clients is what I call the training your brain to see the gain. So there's a book called The Gap Versus the Gain that I really love. And we, in the corporate world, we're very trained to close the gap. It's where you are right now, where your goal is, and then you got to close that gap. But you move a little bit and then you still see the gap, when instead we got to train your brain to see the gain part of it instead of the gap part of it. So what are your day-to-day practices of, one, you have to know where you're starting and where you want to go, but also how far you've come, even if it's just, I sent that one email or I worked on that website or whatever it was, instead of seeing the gap, see the gain. And I have a practice of, before I go to bed, I write down some of my gains just so that I'm not thinking about all the things I didn't get done that I wanted to as I'm falling asleep. And we're training our brain to do that, because your brain naturally wants to go to the negative. That's just how it's wired. So recognizing that piece of it. But then also, when you are not getting that immediate feedback of other people telling you how to measure, it's easy to just go to low-hanging fruit of what's easiest to accomplish, because your brain wants a win, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's wired to do three things naturally: avoid pain, seek pleasure, and conserve energy. So when you're not having other people tell you how to use your time and your energy and what pleasure looks like, you'll go to easy low-hanging fruit, like checking your emails or cleaning out a closet or whatever thing that your brain, yes, that was pleasurable because I got something done. It was little energy, and I didn't have the pain of being uncomfortable and vulnerable working on this business that feels like it's stretching me.
Yeah.
So your default is not actually going to be working on the things that are going to move you forward. Mm-hmm. So it is so important to get clear on what your vision looks like. It will evolve over time. God will guide it. But if you don't have a focus, it's like trying to tell your GPS that you're going to, that you need help moving forward when you don't give it an end destination. Like, the GPS can't do anything for you if you don't tell it where it is that you're trying to go. So having that clear focus of where you want to go, but then seeing the wins and the gains along the way instead of the gap that's between you and then, because then that just makes you feel overwhelmed and not want to do anything.
Yeah. We've studied gap and gain in our household. Like, I love it. All right. Because in the business world and as an entrepreneur, I found it to be so helpful, because I was constantly recognizing, like, oh my gosh, all these things didn't get done. And then the authors of The Gap and the Gain are Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan, a phenomenal book.
Yeah.
And they talk about, how does this apply in my marriage? How does this apply towards raising my kids? How does it apply towards my business? And am I going to essentially look at what I haven't done or how far I've come? And it's a quick little switch that you could do. That's what Stephanie was describing. So there's another book that we had chatted about when we were doing the intro, and that's Who Not How by the same authors. So as an entrepreneur, as I get started, we are trained in specifically in the US to be able to say, okay, there's a problem and how do I get it done? That's how we work here, specifically in the US, is that we're always taught to ask the question of, I have a problem, how do I solve it, over and over again. So let's talk about that a little bit, Stephanie, because Who Not How takes that mindset of, how do I solve this? In other words, I am the one responsible for solving every single problem in my business, instead of working with coworkers in a team and other people around me. All of a sudden now, as an entrepreneur, I'm stuck like, How do I build a stupid website? How do I, my tech's not working. I don't know, my camera's off or my microphone doesn't work. Microphone? What do you mean? I have to get like a, all these, I'm just using those kinds of things. I heard there's a great piece of software. I can record podcasts. I don't even know how to set it up. What's happening?
And then there's new things coming up all the time. And do I shift to this and that? Yeah.
Every day there's new AI tools and those are amazing. So I come from the tech world, right? I was their executive director for top tier tech company. And that tech stuff, man, I like it. Like I really do that, but it doesn't necessarily move the needle forward on some of the tasks that I'm supposed to be doing in my business. So let's talk about who, not how a little bit. Talk to me about your perspective and being able, like the concept of what it means first, and then how do you implement it in your coaching business?
So when I hired a business coach instead of just a mindset coach a while back, one of the things she really helped me see was I was getting stuck in my belief of what my business could become because I hadn't really broadened my perspective of what it would look like once I had more people behind me. And I was trying to do so much of it myself that I couldn't even see a bigger picture of that God-sized idea working because I was trying to see myself doing it all. So when you look at the who, not how, it shifts from how in the world am I going to do this? There's no way I can have the time. Like you said at the beginning, I've got four little boys running around and trying to run a business and my time and my energy. There's no way I can do this thing I want to because I was focused on the how am I going to accomplish this? But when I started thinking, okay, what if it's not all on me? One, it's on God. And he can guide me to that and bring people in my life that can help me. But two, if it is not going towards my income or my impact, that I can be able to shift that to somebody else. That's my focus. Is this actually going to help my income or my impact? And if not, it's busy work. And I'm not using my gifts and talents, those things that God has given me, if I am letting myself be distracted by all of the busy work. Now, I will say there is, you have to put in your time to understand at least some of it so that you can have the language to talk to somebody else. You have to go and get your hands muddy a little. But now that I have a team behind me, it has been a game changer. And I had to let go again of my value that it was based on whether I could be successful and I can do it. I'm a competent, strong, like capable woman. I'm going to go get it. No, actually, I'm going to be more capable of doing what God wants me to do if I release the control on some of this and let someone else help me and sustain me along the way. God will be able to do more with me when I let go of those reins. So that's how it's really played out in my own business. And I've definitely seen that transition.
Yeah. Where do you feel was the tipping point, I guess maybe like revenue wise and time wise, where you felt like, how did you determine I have enough income in my business to be able to go find another who to hire and help me do these things? And then time wise, I'm getting choked out with all the things and I'm missing out on really, let's be honest, if we're married and we have children or we have other people in our significant in our lives that we want to be able to intentionally spend time with, there's only so much work that we can possibly do. Yeah. And oftentimes the fallacy around, I'm just going to go build my own business. So then I have so much free time. Let me just dispel that myth a little bit, because when you first start out, the opportunity, it doesn't always work this way, but the opportunity to take your, I'll just pretend you work full time and you work a 50 hour work week. It was never that way for me, but you have the opportunity as an entrepreneur to all of a sudden make half as much money and work twice as much. Let's just be clear. Like that absolutely exists because now all the tasks can be on your own shoulders as the lead everything, right? Yeah. So the lead content creator and offer launcher and accountant and software developer and all these kinds of things. So what were some of the tipping points just for you as an example in your business that you realize, wow, I can hire people because I have the money to do that. And I need to hire people because I need some time freedom back.
Honestly, the first step is that like humble pill that you swallow when you say, I am sure there's somebody who could do this way better than I can at a lot faster pace because I'm learning it. I wasn't trained to be a business person. Now I do have a master's in public administration, so I have some of that, but that's not what my training is in. I'm a good coach. That's what my strength is. And having the humility to say somebody else has a better ability to do that thing than me, and I can release that and let them do it, is going to be a big humble moment for anyone, right? So that humility first, to say I'm willing to get off and off that soapbox that I can do all the things better than anybody else, right?
Right, right.
And that's awesome. And that specifically was social media for me. Every time I tried to get on for social media and do whatever, I'd sprint, and then it would feel just deflating. And I knew there were people who could do it better than me. I knew they could do outreach better than me and marketing better than me, even though my husband's a marketer. He does business to business. And even that wasn't the right fit. And so finding someone who has been specializing in the thing that you need help with, they can do it faster than you, and they can do it better than you. And if you pay them to do it, they're going to save you time and bring in the money. Now, here's the thing that is the measuring stick. Anyone you pay should be paying for themselves over time. So if you're paying a virtual assistant, that person should be doing work that's going to be paying for them. If you're paying someone to do your marketing, then they should have leads coming in that are paying for their own payment. So that's been my measuring stick along the way, so that I can, again, focus on my income and my impact in ways that are honoring the values and the skills God has given me instead of burying them in the ground.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's super helpful. So do you have an idea if someone wanted to hire where do they start? What does that look like?
So where I found mine is I found other people who are doing what I'm doing and asked them who they use and they trust. Okay. So for me, I do outreach on social media. There's a woman who coaches businesswoman coaches, and I found out who her outreach team was because they already know where to find the Christian women.
Yeah.
And so they go and connect with those groups. They already have a pulse on that. Now I'm hiring someone who doesn't have to do the footwork. If I'm hiring some random person that I just look online, then they now have to learn that culture, that area, and go find those people. No, go find somebody who's already succeeding at what you're doing and ask them who they use.
Yes.
So that's awesome. What helped me.
That's super helpful. And just so we're clear, like sometimes the hiring process and adding your who's, it's like everything. It's a little bit of an ebb and a flow, and sometimes it's a good fit and sometimes it's time to move on. Just know that's also part of the process. That's what I've experienced in my business as well. I'm sure you have as well. Like sometimes it's a great fit. Sometimes that's like people in your lives. Sometimes they're a great fit and you have lasting relationships, and it just feels, you feel supported, you feel loved by your, you go to lunch with your girlfriends and you're like, yes, we're friends for 20 years. This works all the time. And then other relationships are not really designed to be that way. They might be designed to be more, in the business sense, more project related. Mm-hmm. So come in and work on this project for me, get it in, get it done, get out of here. Or sometimes just the personality styles don't really work well. I know I had hired some folks on my team, and by the end of the year, it was so hard. It was one of the worst things I had to do in my business, to be like, this just isn't, you're amazing. It's just not a good fit for me anymore thing. Yeah. And having to have, just with integrity and honesty, hey, we've tried to make this work a couple of times and it's just not a good fit. That's okay. Like, I'll be happy to bless you. And I think one of the best things we can do sometimes when we have people that are on our teams that are not a good fit is give them an opportunity to go bless somebody else with their gifts and talents, so that, because they are amazing, even if they're not an amazing fit for you. So recognizing that and then cutting the ties honestly with integrity and blessing them and then moving on and doing something different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had that same experience.
Yeah. It's so hard.
Yeah, it is. But then again, we go back to, where's our measuring stick? Whether they're happy with us or whether we're on God's path, and He will guide us to know when it's time to cut those ties and who it is that needs to be brought in.
Yes. Yeah. And some, at least for me, what I notice is that the weight of making that decision gets a little bit heavier every day. Mm-hmm. And then I'm finally like, okay, I just need to do this thing.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe the other thing is, for me in that situation, I prayed about, I was like, God, what's the most honoring thing that I can do? Mm. And it was like, just, you got to let them go do something else. Yeah. They're awesome. let them go be awesome somewhere else. And I was like, oh, okay, that's it. Let's just get in and get it done.
But you had to recognize that they're still awesome, right?
Yes.
Because you were worried about their value being shaken because you are letting them go. But again, that goes back to just a different flower. Like, we just like different flowers, and that's okay. Doesn't change your value or your lovability. It's just you are going to thrive in a different environment to grow somewhere else. Yes. And I need something else to help me grow.
Yes. Yeah. It was that. And also remembering she's an amazing person. So if she can't be amazing for me, let me let her go be amazing for somebody else.
Because yes.
The bottom line is she is an amazing person. Like she loves the Lord. She loves being able to serve. So go do those things because, you know, just like I want to be able to go and coach the ladies that are the right fit for me.
Yeah.
That recognize that my voice and my similar story and what I have to offer and the community and that we're building, like that those are the right fit for them. If they're not, then that's okay. Go be with the group. And I get asked all the time, and what makes a good coach? How do you determine, how do you choose a coach? So what would you say to that, Stephanie? Like, how would you guide somebody who's listening to say, what are the markers of finding? Because you have talked about a couple of different kinds of coaches that you've hired through your business, mindset coach, a business coach, employing some of these tactics from Who Not How and the gap in the gain. Like, how do you determine some of those right fit pieces? And I've heard you say a bunch of times, like you pray and ask God about it as well.
Absolutely.
But what else? What are some of the other things that you do?
I think that we all have natural strengths that bring out other people's natural strengths, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you meet with a coach and you feel them just pull on those natural strengths within you so that it doesn't feel like such a forced uphill climb, there's a lot of head that goes along in coaching, right? Where they can say a lot of great tools and tactics of how they're going to help you. But if the heart comes along, when you're connecting with a coach, that's usually a sign that it's a better fit, that it doesn't just sound like a good idea. It feels motivating because our thoughts create our feelings, right? So if our feeling isn't matching that this is a good fit, then that's a warning sign right off. But it's hard. You pick your favorite outfit, you date somebody. There's not really a perfect way about going about it, but let's go back to what's your vision? What's your focus? What do you want to create? And who can honor your values along the way? I tried to be just a neutral coach when I first started coaching, and I couldn't do it. I was like, I can't do this. I have to talk about God. That's just where it's at. And so I immediately cut out a lot of people because I'm going to talk about God. I'm going to talk about transformation through Christ and that He is the answer at the end of the day. And if that doesn't vibe with you, that's okay. I'm not for everybody. So you've got to find somebody who honors your value system so that you cannot feel like you have to justify yourself along the way. I think that's a really important thing, but that they can see your vision and that you feel naturally pulled forward when you talk to them, because that's what a coach is. It's helping you break free of those struggles. And if you're already feeling it with them, it's a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah. I would add to that as well. So I love everything that you said, and add to that someone who can also add a level of accountability. One thing that we find an awful lot when you coach is that, and I know that I can fall prey to this as well. There's so much good stuff out there everywhere. So for somebody who gets into the mode of I'm just consuming all, whether it's, let's just be clear, whether it's sermons or podcasts or freebies or all those kind of things, YouTube channels, like all of that is good stuff. Yes. But if you heard what Stephanie just said, somebody that resonates with your value system and that kind of draws your heart in, and then I add to that someone who can hold you accountable. Also remember that while the free stuff can be okay, if you're the kind of person that's not really taking action on that, you're probably not at a spot where you're ready to hire a coach. It's also, we also want to be able to, coaches want to work with somebody who's willing to make the investment in themselves, as well as in being able to do the steps, right? The practical, remember what we said earlier, the practical and the tactical of growing a business is a small percentage of it. It's only about 15%. And so for who's going to resonate and jive with you on the 85% and then hold you accountable and say, I meet with Stephanie and she says, Anita, go work on your next free masterclass that you're offering next month. okay, Stephanie, so what are the steps? We work out those steps. And then she meets with me and says, did you do the things that you said you were going to do?
Yeah.
Because if I'm somebody who's going to seek after coaching, but I'm not willing, able, or sometimes we want to, but we're just not able. Yeah. Sometimes we're just not ready to do that. We don't have the finances to invest, or we have the heart's desire, but we just can't bridge that gap. It's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, just acknowledge that's where you're at in the journey. But if you're going to spend the time to invest in coaching, both for yourself and then also financially, be that kind of person that shows up and does the things that your coach is coaching you to do and you're promising to do, because it's a much better experience, both for you as the receiver of the coaching and also for your coach as well. And it's a completely different experience.
And I love that you said that, because a good coach will help you move from consumer to creator.
Yes.
And then the other thing is that they will help you not only hold you accountable, but help you hold yourself accountable.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes coaches can become a God figure for some people, or a therapist can become a God figure, where it's like, oh, they have to be the measuring stick if I'm okay. And I don't think that's a good coach. I think a good coach helps you know how to measure yourself and checks in on how you're measuring yourself so that it's not turning to them to be that for you. One last thought, as I was listening to you talk about good coaches and how to make that decision. So many coaches are focused on your actions, that they just say, if we do this, then we get this result. But our actions, where do they come from?
Yeah.
Everything we do is fueled by our feelings, everything. And if you don't have a coach who's also talking about how you're feeling, and then where do those feelings come from? What you're thinking.
Yeah.
So you have to have a coach that knows how to deep dive into what are we thinking and feeling that are driving those actions, and how can we create thoughts and feelings that will naturally create actions. That's money. If you do not have a coach doing thought and feeling work with you and just action work with you, they are not worth your time. That's taking your willpower, and willpower runs out and then you flop. So make sure any coach you hire knows how to do thought and feeling work and help you be accountable, not just be reliant on them.
Ah, that's so powerful, Stephanie. I appreciate you saying that. So how can people connect with you after they listen to this podcast and they're motivated to do something a little bit different and take some action steps? What are ways that people can connect with you?
Sure. So like I mentioned, I have my own podcast, Radiant You, but I also do a free one-on-one intro session for anybody who just wants to dive deep. I call it a live lighter session. How do you want to live lighter? Whether it's in your business or your personal life, let's just find that low-hanging fruit to move forward right now. And that's a free thing. You can look on my website, thelightcoach.com. That's LIGHT, lightcoach.com. And just click on the Work With Me tab. And there's different things that you can connect with me there.
Oh, thank you. I just loved having you here today. So everybody who's listening, take advantage of Stephanie's offer to be able to connect with her and get some traction in the next steps that you want to do, not just in the practical steps, but also working on the thoughts and the emotions that are driving those steps that you want to take in your business today. So thank you so much for being here, Stephanie. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. It was a joy. Thanks for the invite.
Yep. Thank you for joining us today on the Messy Middle Podcast. We hope this episode has inspired, encouraged, and equipped you to navigate the challenges of building a profitable business while balancing the demands of your work life, your faith, and motherhood. We would love to hear from you. Connect with us on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or at our website, therippleeffect.net. To share your thoughts, questions, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. You can also find us at anitaanello.com. Until then, be well and know that we are cheering you on.